We all have ringside seats to the greatest mass murder in human history, a slaughter, a massacre, a genocide, all planned over a period of at least 20 years, probably more in a rudimentary sense, but they've really been on this for quite some time now. And they knew in advance, because of supercomputer and gaming models that they could use, how the people were going to react, how to push their buttons, what buttons to push, what lines of dribble to put out there, and they've done it. Now, remember what they were doing 8 or 9 months ago? There's no such thing as viruses. No such thing as viruses. Viruses don't exist. Well, you'll notice that one's kind of faded away. Now it's been replaced by, well, there really are no spike proteins. Don't worry about that. It's all synthetic, AI, biological parasites. And don't forget those little nano building machines that are right there to build all these little evil things that are running around in your system. But the bottom line is, whenever you listen to anybody talk about this subject, if they refer to it as a vaccine, you should be tipped off. That use alone, every time you hear it, that single use of that word reinforces it in your subconscious mind as being a vaccine that has gone awry. No, it was never a vaccine. It is a DoD bioweapon built, designed, and deployed to do only one thing. It's working perfectly, by and large. And we'll see. We're watching the Deagle projections to see where that's going. And we've got 2 years and 2 months before January 1st, 2025. Let's see what happens. Hello, Erica. Welcome back.
Hi, Jeff. Good to be here again.
Gee, you sound so bright and fresh and happy.
Put on a happy face.
Yeah, we can almost see it. Actually, we hear it. We hear it in that lovely voice. I better stop now. Okay. Come on, keep laughing. Laughter is the only thing we can still do that they haven't taken completely away from us, so we need to remember that.
That's true.
All right, I hope you heard the program on Wednesday. If you didn't, you really should listen to it. It's up there, right there in the archive. We're going to revisit one of the videos tonight, just part of it. Dr. Paul Merrick, who stated what we've been saying for a long time, but he did it so nicely and so accessibly. We're going to play part of that video. Then in the program on Wednesday, we had Naomi Wolf just shredding Little Rochelle Walensky. Very good. Claiming that she is unquestionably responsible for mass murder. That's Naomi Wolf, and Naomi is correct. Okay. First up, we have a little homemade video from John O'Looney, the UK mortician, funeral director, and he is now speaking out about the flu. I hate to say vax. These things are just not vaccines. They really aren't. And I would also suggest, and we were talking about this earlier, never in the rest of your life, allow a needle to be put in your body. You could do worse.
Yeah.
Let them do it. You'll find out. You don't know what's in those needles. Oh, no, we're just going to pull blood. We're going to draw blood. Well, if you've been vaxxed, that may not be such an easy task. So anyway, the idea is that no more injections. You don't need them? Not at all. You take care of yourself, you'll be fine. How do we ban needles? We don't. Needles are money, and that's all they care about.
And they've got an agenda. That's very clear.
Well, what was it? Last night, we passed 8 billion people. Was it last night?
Today, according to the world, I don't know, population odometer, I don't know how accurate that is, but it's a ticker, apparently a live ticker of the number of people being born and dying, and believe it or not, it's according to this thing, trending up.
Well, we believe everything they tell us, so I'm right there.
Something doesn't add up.
Good grief. Yeah, 8 billion people. They're growing.
Yeah.
We're growing.
Yeah.
All right. Here's before I play John O'Looney, we've talked a lot about the so-called flu vax, the flu shot and what's in it. This year was a quad, at least that's how they started out with the design, as a quadrivalent. And now they are at work on a new one that is predicated on the mRNA platform. Fun and games for everyone. However, in the UK at least, a lot of people are taking the traditional, what we think is the traditional quad variety, and they're dying. And this is something that funeral director John O'Looney is, that man has integrity, just incredible amounts of integrity. And if he's saying it, it's happening. People are taking the shots, the flu shots, and dying over there. I don't know why, unless there's something else in the shots. Traditionally, attenuated viruses don't cause people to die quickly. They're not supposed to anyway. Anything else to add to this? What's going on?
I would agree. You have to remember that a lot of these people now have dysfunctional immune systems. So they may not respond predictably.
Yeah. What immune system? They have AIDS, for God's
sakes. So there's that. And then we really don't know what's in these shots. It could be anything.
End of story. Erica just said it. We don't know what's in these shots, comma. It could be anything. Who's to say? Who do you trust? You can't trust anybody in so-called Western medicine anymore.
No.
If you do, you're a fool.
No.
Or a dead person.
And I noticed that younger women, I don't know how long this has been going on, a couple of years I'm guessing, but they seem to be targeting women of childbearing age for the tetanus shot. And I had a conversation sometime in the last 6 months with a girl, I'm guessing she's in her 20s, who didn't take the COVID shot, had no interest in taking that, just, you know, she knew better, but she was at her annual doctor's appointment, and the doctor talked her into a tetanus shot. Now, you know, you don't typically get a tetanus shot unless, you know, you've stepped on a rusty nail or, I don't know, something of that nature, right?
Of course.
You've had one in the past 10 years, if it works at all, it should work for 10 years. That was the rule of thumb.
Supposedly, immunity, yeah.
She acquiesced to getting it, and time will tell. You know, she's going to be married. I presume she wants to have a family. We'll see how that goes. But I have noticed that these various groups that I'm peruse from time to time, that there seems to be an association with the tetanus shot with infertility in women, among other things. You know, some of the Morgellons people report that their problems started after a tetanus shot. So we really, at the end of the day, have no idea what's in these things.
No, well said. I hadn't heard the Morg tetanus link before, but anything's possible. No, you don't know what's in them. You know by now, all of you listening, well, we're preaching to the choir here, my friend. They know.
Yeah, I know.
I guess, and one other thing I want to add real quickly, for all of you out there who are trying to educate loved ones and friends, and maybe even just people you've met about the truth, it's very hard to do. Their mind is made up. Don't bother them with the facts, because our government and our professional health establishment will always tell us the truth. That's how they think. That's actually how they think. They cannot accept the fact that they've been lied to and people are being slaughtered. Understandable. I'm not knocking them. But the point is, don't waste your time. Just don't. If somebody wants to know, help them. If not, you hear that door shut, boom. Change the subject or walk on. Just forget it. Don't waste your time. It's too frustrating. And we don't have a lot of time to waste. Okay. Here's the great, and I use this term very infrequently. He is really a great man, John O'Looney. And it's a short video, and there is the F word in there, but it's becoming more and more like a comma all the time now. And it does, in his case, to see him using words like that is indicative of his incredible frustration and rage. And it's clear. Here, this is a shorty. This is 2 minutes and 10 seconds. Okay. Here we go.
Hi, guys. So just a quickie, really. Quick video I wanted to do to highlight a real issue. It's the 8th of November, and I've just been into the chemist to pick up some painkillers because I'm in pain. I've got a knackered disc in my back. The joy of undertaking. And I sat in the queue. And a lady came in, a young girl came in. Obviously, she was some sort of care worker, and she brought an old guy in with her, very old. He would have been in his 80s, and she announced to the staff member behind the chemist, "I'm here to bring John in," that was his name, "for his flu jab." And I kind of listened, and I was racked with anguish because I know what these flu jabs are doing to these people. So I pulled her to one side because she left this guy sitting in a chair or standing there on his own. So great carer she was. And she started having a wander around, looking in the aisles and look of this pharmacy. So I pulled her to one side and said, "Listen," I said, "I'm an undertaker." And I said, "I'm seeing loads of people die shortly after having these jabs." She said, "Oh, I know. She said, "But it's not my choice. I have to do it." And I said, "What are you talking about? This is someone's dad, you know? I said, "It's on your head." And then I said to the guy on the way, I said, "John, I really wouldn't have this flu jab." And I, you know, I kind of left. But this is what they're doing, is they're ferrying these old people in, these social care services. They're taking them in to have these jabs, knowing that it's killing them, knowing that it's killing them. And she admits, she said, "Oh, I know. She said, "But it's not my choice." Do you know why she's doing it? Because she's getting paid to do it. Scumbag. So for those of you who have elderly people that are in care, and I use that term care very fucking loosely, don't allow them to take your loved ones in for a bloody jab that they openly admit they know is killing them. You know, what's the matter with these people? They're sick, absolutely sick. And I'm so livid with rage and anger that some wicked person could do that to another human being, take them in under the guise of it being care.
There you go. Okay. It's not care. It's make a buck or a pound. And I don't know where this is coming from, frankly. The UK is now in the throes of apparently people dying after getting the flu shot. This is news to me. So that's another reason I wanted to play the video. I don't know if you've seen anything about that yet. I know he wasn't meaning the COVID shot. He was meaning the flu shot. So there's some problem apparently over there with the flu shots. We'll have to see here.
Yeah, it may be here as well. It's a needle. That's all we need to know. It's a needle, and we don't really know what's in it.
You know what I saw today?
What?
I saw a stroller with a baby in it.
Oh, my. Take a picture.
Yep. I don't see many of those anymore.
No, it's going to really drop off, I'm afraid. Well, depending on where you are.
And this town is supposed to be one of the nearly dead and newly wed type towns. No middle ground. So I guess you see newlywed, and there used to be a lot of babies here. Not so much anymore.
No, I haven't seen many now either for a while.
Here's another issue. I think that, and I may be wrong, but I believe the general round number statistic is about 75% of pregnant women who are stupid enough, and I mean stupid because they should do their own damn research. They've got another life inside their body they're nurturing. Stupid enough to take the Department of Defense bioweapon injection. 75% of them are their babies are being killed before they're born. They call it stillbirth. Now, it's a murder of an unborn child. And those who are successfully birthed, God only knows how much time they have. These shots are not a joke. And these women just can't seem to figure it out. Now, to make things better, because Pfizer cares, Pfizer is developing a new shot. Tell them. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, they have a new line of vaccines that are going to be geared towards pregnant women, specifically pregnant women, to be given while they're pregnant so that when they give birth to the infant, it will supposedly have pre-existing immunity to all these nasty viruses. And the most recent one, CNN published this, or CNBC published this a couple days ago. Apparently, they did a trial for RSV, respiratory syncytial virus, and for infants, and I can't believe they found this many women to participate in this study. 7,400 pregnant women were injected in the, third trimester, and they gave birth to babies that they claim were 81%, the shot was 81% effective at preventing severe lower respiratory tract illnesses that require hospitalization or assisted breathing.
And we trust Pfizer about this, of course. Yeah.
And really, the RSV was really only an issue for, my understanding, is premature babies. You know, a normal infant wouldn't necessarily be at risk of this.
I have never personally heard of a newly born child suffering with RSV. That doesn't mean that there aren't a number of them, but you're right. It's just
until these past two years, now that they've been making sure that this COVID thing gets spread around, either the virus or the spike or whatever else is in these things.
Right. I remember a newly born child has no functional to speak of immune system yet. And the mother's immune system is already degraded if she's been shot up. We know that, too. We don't know what the long-term outlook is for these children. If they survive, we don't have any. We're going to watch. We're just going to keep score. That's all we can do.
Don't say it in this article, but I believe this RSV vaccine being given to pregnant women is mRNA. It's funny. They've left that out.
Oh, you didn't say that. You're right. It is mRNA. I remember this.
I believe
this.
It is. They're all going to be mRNA.
Yes.
So they're going for approval based on the stellar results that the babies...
Self-approval.
Right. They, were able to avoid hospitalization. Any normal infant wouldn't necessarily have a need to be hospitalized. So I'm not sure what the actual, efficacy really is. What are you comparing it to? This is frightening.
It's safe to say now, isn't it, that virtually any pregnant woman, any couple that's expecting, should have heard something about the astonishing controversy around these death shots. Enough to spur them on to do research. And they're not doing it. They're just rejecting. Ah, conspiracy theory. Just crap. Nope, not interested.
I think from what I can tell, that some of these people are beginning to realize that they might have made a mistake. And I think they're still trying to, resist having to confront that. Many reports of people noticing in their vax friends or relatives that they're getting, a little short-tempered. They're angry. They're angry at, the world. And it's probably because the truth is starting to come out, and they're going to have to face the fact that they were duped, number one. There's no protection from this thing, and it looks like there's a whole lot of risk to it with it.
Exactly. The other thing is, I think a lot of people are sick out there, and they're in denial, and they're also ashamed to even begin to entertain the idea that maybe this shot has blanked them up in their health and life, and they're not talking about it. They're putting on a happy face, they're acting normally, but they're not well. They go home and they lie down and they, oh God, what am I going to do? I think there are a lot of people who are sick out there who are not showing it intentionally. They have to go to the store, they've got to take care of the family. They will not admit it. Excuse me. Or they go to work and they're coughing in the office, and the office air is stagnant, and pretty soon it's Spike Central and God knows what else. And you're sitting there breathing it all day. And there's a lot of coughing.
Even, I was talking to someone a couple days ago, and she looks fine. I don't think she's vaxxed. I'm not sure, but, I didn't ask. And then all of a sudden she starts coughing, like a tuberculosis-type cough, and it's...
A big honk.
Wow. Yeah.
I've heard them. They're not little wimpy coughs. These are big coughs, deep. And, And it seems to be the case with people who have been sick before, the unvaxxed, who get sick from shedding. They're the ones who almost always end up with, it's like a signature cough that they can't shake.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Let's play a little of Dr. Paul Merrick. Now, we played the whole thing last time. I'm just going to play about half of it because he's so articulate, and he's backing up everything that we've tried to offer up for you to consider, and it's really nice to hear. Now, I also should mention Dr. Chetty. What's his first name? You remember?
I'm drawing a blank. Let me look.
It's okay. Dr. Chetty, you'll get it, in South Africa. And he was the first one to say that the spike protein, he said this over a year ago, was the deadliest thing. Shankara was the deadliest thing that mankind had ever created. And he was right. And here's Dr. Paul Merrick, at least a year later, coming to the same conclusion. So let's listen just to a couple of minutes of this.
The spike protein is probably one of the most toxic proteins the human body has ever seen. It seems, though, and we have really good data from a number of groups. So firstly, from Pfizer's own data, and then there have been two independent surveys looking at vaccine injured, both in the US and in Germany. And over 80% of the adverse events are neurological. So, which is what makes this such a devastating disease. So these people are neurologically impaired. The commonest is overwhelming severe fatigue and tiredness. Then brain fog. So it interferes with the ability to think clearly, to do cognitive tasks, to function normally as a human being. So it's these overwhelming fatigue, overwhelming tiredness, brain fog. And then they get what's called a peripheral neuropathy, in which they develop antibodies against the nerve fibers. So they get terrible shooting pains, paresthesias, numbness in their legs, terrible pain, burning pains, and which can be enormously disabling. And that seems to be pretty common. And then obviously we have the myocarditis. They can't hide that. So, we know this particularly affects young men who seem, for whatever reason, to be particularly vulnerable to developing myocarditis. And then there are a whole host of other diseases. Patients get severe ringing in the ears called tinnitus. They get visual problems. They get problems with walking and ambulation. So it's a spectrum. In fact, there are over 2,000 published peer-reviewed papers describing different medical conditions associated with the vaccine. But unfortunately, the most serious are the neurological, which, you know, interfere with people's ability to work, to function normally, to ambulate. So these are really serious complications.
To put it mildly, one thing that we touched on a long time ago and a couple times, and it bears repeating, the spike also in terms of fatigue and brain fog seems to be triggering, and it may just because people, they feel so crappy and they just can't be pleasant anymore, but there's a hostility, an over-the-top hostility that explodes and erupts in people, a nastiness, a rudeness. It's definitely changing people's personalities for the worst. And they're not coming back, at least not yet. Once they've gone over the edge like that, they stay nasty. That's what I've heard. It is hearsay, but it's coming from people who are really worried about it. And these are people they know. So there you go.
Yeah, I've seen it too.
Dr. Paul Merrick. And you can find that, it should be, up in the archive there. If it's not, it will be. So you'll be able to hear that in its full 8-minute entirety. But he makes very important points. This is not a joke. This thing is doing precisely what it was supposed to do. And that's the sad part. All right, you want to do the sepsis first or smells? Well, let's do the sepsis first.
Yeah, that's a good little thread.
All right. Now this is, you want to go ahead and do this? Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. This is a shedding experience. This woman says, I have joint muscle.
Unvaxxed. Remember, unvaxxed.
Yes. All right. I have joint muscle and nerve pain. Most of my friends and family are vaxxed, so it's hard not to be around it. It is frustrating as this is not going away. And first answer, it is very frustrating because until people stop taking these shots, it will never end for us who suffer from this, unfortunately. Have you started taking anything to help with your symptoms? I've tried many things, and the thing that works best for me is the horse paste. As my doctor refuses to give me the human stuff, even though I have proved to him that it works. Another one says, me too. It works the best. I just got done taking a round of the, I'm not sure what that is. I'm guessing she's referring to ivermectin, but I'm not sure. And I feel a lot better.
HCQ?
Well, it's HYDOX.
Oh,
so I don't, HYDOX, I don't know.
Whatever.
And then she ends by saying, it's because it's snake venom.
Right. Okay, now that's still around there, by the way. And
yeah, it's still
apparently Artis is now saying, if I read it right, I may be wrong, that it's not just one kind of venom or toxicity derived from a venom, but many types, that he was wrong by saying it was king cobra snake venom or whatever it was he said. So this thing is not going away. It's part of the mix of disinformation and confusion that is being sown by these professionals constantly. They don't stop.
Well, I think he's trying to recover some credibility.
Oh, sure he is. It's rehabilitation time. Yeah.
Right. And he stumbled across the Italian research that you and I talked about a year ago.
Yeah.
That shows that the microbiome of the gut is altered in ways that it begins producing toxins, like diphtheria, for example, is a bacterial toxin. Your gut microbiome can also be altered in ways that it produces toxins, but these toxins are similar to venoms, various conotoxins, which can be neurotoxic or hemotoxic, and they can leach into the bloodstream and cause clotting. So that has been found in some COVID patients. All right, Continuing with this thread, another one says, I have been getting live blood analysis done for about 6 months now, and with my reactions, my blood gets full of candida, yeast, and fungus, so I believe that my body goes into sepsis. Funny thing, my doctor agrees that that is what is happening, but he cannot wrap his brain around it, even though I have flat out come out and told him why. He won't admit it. And the first one says, I don't believe in doctors anymore. And then another one says, the spike protein damages red blood cells, which releases the iron from the heme from them into the bloodstream. This iron feeds bacteria and candida. NAC and natural iron chelators such as curcumin, green tea, and quercetin will help bind that iron so that it is less apt to contribute to fungal and bacterial infections. So there is an iron connection with these infections that people are experiencing as a result of shedding, likely for this reason.
What we've really been trying to do lately is, beside present the human anguish and suffering of so many people, and remember what we're consulting and what Erica monitors is less than 1/100 of 1% of what's going on out there. We don't know, but we do know that these people who have sought out the social media platforms to reach out for help are in earnest. They're not playing games. They're very serious. They don't know where to turn. They don't know who to talk to. And these, as you know from listening to us read these, this is the real human side of this catastrophe, this contrived catastrophe. Okay.
Yeah, so I think the iron thing is going to be getting more attention. What I'm seeing in the last week or so is people are back on to this medication known, this is not really a medication, I guess it is a medication, methylene blue. Methylene blue is being rediscovered. It was first known at the beginning of the scamdemic because it was helping people, and particularly those with black blood, which is a sign of methemoglobinemia. It's when the heme is oxidized and it's no longer viable. It cannot carry oxygen, and methylene blue is the treatment of choice. And these people with black blood right now, I mean, Nurse Ann has not mentioned that they've been offered or given methylene blue, which would be one way of dealing with this issue that they're having. So people are understanding that there's an issue with oxidation and oxygenation, and methylene blue is really quite effective at just restoring that redox balance where you gain and lose electrons in a controlled fashion so that you have oxygen when you need it. And once something has been oxidized, it can be recycled and used again for oxidation. So it's basically an electron cycler. And, so these people that are suffering from the black blood, and among other things, they have iron trapping within their cells. And as a result of that, they are creating horrendous oxidative stress, which results in peroxidation of the lipids in these cells. And then you get, you know, these oxidized lipids, and the byproduct of which is aldehydes, which are very toxic, and some of them are carcinogenic all on their own, and they need to be detoxified.
Like formaldehydes.
Formaldehyde, correct.
There are many kinds,
There are many kinds, but the funny thing is, the interesting thing is in all of this, now that this issue of lipid peroxidation is becoming more understood in these people, aldehydes are known for they're widely used in the perfume industry because many of them have unique fragrances like flowers. And it's likely that the smells that are coming off the vax people is actually the consequence of the lipid peroxidation that they are experiencing and the formation of these aldehydes, some of which have these flowery, perfumey odors. Others may have a metallic smell or even a musty smell. It just depends on which ones are being generated. So that would is probably what is accounting for these laundry detergent, dryer sheet smells, among other, coming off these people. You know, and that's obviously a bad sign that if they're forming this level of aldehydes, and they're not being detoxified, and they are toxic. They can damage your DNA and cause cancer and a raft of other problems.
Seems like almost everything out there these days can cause cancer and other problems. Just it's treacherous world.
You know, the vax, you know, it's really the spike that I would say is causing the dysregulation of the iron, causing the iron to be trapped in the cells. And then you get the lipid peroxidation.
Well, it's kicking it loose from the red blood cell, and it's running around, and then it ends up being trapped in cells.
Well, that's one way. So the heme is destroyed. So the free iron, or the iron coming off the heme, is now unbound. And when it's unbound, that's when it's very reactive. And the heme also by itself is very damaging. But what's unique about the spike protein is there's a sequence in it that is homologous or identical to hepcidin, which is the master regulator of iron in the body. It signals the body of when it needs iron, when it should sequester iron, how much, how often. So when hepcidin is high, as it would be, or the body would sense that it's high if it has this molecule that's identical to it, it's going to sequester iron in the tissues. So your tissues will be loaded with iron, but you won't have enough in your blood to carry oxygen. So you've got a real problem there.
You do.
And
aldehydes.
That's where this methylene blue, I think people are starting to figure out, is very helpful.
Do your research. We'll talk more about that in the future.
Yeah.
We're not saying it's a cure. We're saying it's a potential treatment to help mitigate, right? Aldehydes, that's another word we want to keep in our mind. Aldehydes, if you look into perfumery, or whatever how you pronounce it, they caused a real revolution in the whole industry. It's like adding rocket fuel to perfume. It boosts the whoosh of a fragrance when you first smell it, kind of like the fizz off champagne, I say. There are many different kinds of aldehydes, as Erica just said, with different scent profiles. Most have a very strong scent with a slightly greasy, waxy character and a thin, almost metallic twist to it. So that may be what's causing some of the smells. I can bet on it, actually. Others have a citrus-like smell. It's a very interesting thing. It revolutionized the perfume industry, is what it did.
Mm.
So that was quite interesting. Okay, aldehydes. In the meantime, we also have LNPs, liquid nanoparticles, and these and unbound iron. Together, you got fat and you got an ignition source, so to speak. And fat is being burned or destroyed by the iron, and that's throwing off molecules of aroma, which we called putrescence early on. And that may be part of the smell spectrum, too.
Well, I would say that it's now known that many of the organs and tissues that are being deprived of a blood supply due to the microclotting, they are actually, in fact, necrotic. Necrotic tissue has been found in the heart, so portions of the heart are dying. And, you know, and you can assume that's happening wherever the spike protein went or tried to go. You know, that blood supply is compromised, and that organ tissue is starving for oxygen, and it's dying. It is dying. And so that area is like that.
Bacteria go to work on it, and it starts to give off odors.
Yeah.
Bacteria feed on iron as well. So what a fun party. It's party time.
Beads on iron.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So you understand, as we said in the past, so many pathways to death, to anti-life in the body. It's really disgusting. Okay, anything you want to add to that? We've covered a lot already. And,
no, I'm glad people are starting to make the connection that this is a, you know, the shedding sickness is an issue of iron dysregulation, inflammation, and the iron dysregulation, and that's really important in advancing our understanding of what this is and how to protect from it, protect against it.
Please be careful of anyone out there, hucksters. I've never seen more. They're crawling out of the woodwork now, selling this and selling that, trying to tell you it's going to cure you. Is it? No, forget it. Forget it. Will it make you somehow physiologically a little more competent? Maybe. That's what supplements can do, because most people don't eat properly. So when they start getting these nutrition elements by way of a supplement, they're going to feel better. It's not a mystery. You give somebody who's eating the average American diet a good, competent, one-a-day multiple vitamin and mineral, they're going to feel better.
Right.
They do.
Other thing, too, that there seems to be a belief that the vaxxed are emitting radiation.
Oh, yeah.
And I think what people are actually experiencing are, you know, when they have that sensation, is the neurotoxic effects of what's coming off these people. It's not actually radiation, but it's doing the same damage. And when you look at what free iron can do in terms of oxidizing tissues, you know, it's on a par in some cases with ionizing radiation. It's just free radical damage, extreme free radical damage.
What did we talk about recently? Necrotic bowel issues.
Yeah.
This means they opened one guy up because he had a blockage, and what they found was his lower intestines were dead. They had gone necrotic. They were black, and they smelled, and there was feces everywhere. His entire bowel section of his intestinal tract had been killed. Dead.
Yeah.
He didn't know. He couldn't tell. Might have a little stomach ache. I don't know. But this, I don't know what to tell people who are vaxxed, except if you have symptoms, you probably should try and get tested and find out what the hell they are, so maybe you can at least be aware of them. We don't have a cure. We don't have anything except take these supplements we've recommended time and time again and keep your diet as competent as you can so your immune system has a chance.
I will say one of the flagship supplements for all of this is NAC, N-acetylcysteine, because people very quickly become depleted in their glutathione. And glutathione is absolutely essential in dealing with these issues of oxidative stress that's happening throughout the body. I mean, if you can boost up your supply, your reserve of glutathione, you have some chance of mitigating the damage.
Right.
And then secondarily, NAC will bind directly to free iron and neutralize its ability to be reactive and cause a lot of damage.
NAC, N-acetylcysteine.
And now you know why they wanted to take it away.
Oh, they tried to make it a controlled pharmacological drug. Wow, I was sickening. I first learned about it over 2 years ago. I bought a chicken coop from somebody, and the guy delivered it, and he told me he had been sick with COVID. And he said he went to a naturopath that he knew, and the guy said, "You want to get better?" Yes, NAC, and he said I was better in 2 days. It was gone. So in some cases, it can kick the old Wuhan form of the virus out right away, and it does good things in other venues as well. Okay, we got some reading here. We can duck in four or five anyway. Where do you want to start?
Secondary
shedding?
Done?
Well, we got all these sheddings to do. Secondary shedding.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. If your friend is unvaxxed, this was secondary shedding. This is not first person. This is second person shedding. It's possible. I've had it happen when my husband comes home from work. What are you doing to detox? Answer. I had the same thing happen before, but I was near 5G, so I wasn't certain whether it was secondary shedding or the tower, but this confirmed it for me. I've tried zeolite and CDS so far. Now I'm trembling, so going to do another CDS. Any tips? And the person responds, the CDS and zeolite will really help. Use the zeolite first. Answer. Oh, dear God, those psychopaths are getting to us one way or another. And we have no idea what all that shedding is doing to us internally and long term. It's so demonic. Final comment. How close were you and how long? I just hugged some vaxxers. LOL. I didn't decline.
You know, that zeolite, too, I think that they're starting to try to scare people away from that. And that's another one that's showing some success in mitigating these unpleasant symptoms for a lot of people.
All right. We'll keep that in mind. Go ahead to the next one.
I just had it. Okay. Definitely secondary shedding. My unjabbed friend came over here when she was sleeping 2 weeks before that with a vaxxed at the same hospital. Hostel, like a bunk bed. I got symptoms like she was jabbed and she smelled like the jabbed. I started to detox her and my symptoms went away and also the smell on her. But like bed sheets that she used, etc., was smelling like the vax. Secondary shedding is 100% true. I get it, too, sometimes when my unjabbed boyfriend comes home from work. He goes now straight to the shower, and then I don't get symptoms. That's why I really think it is radiation poisoning, because the shower helps. All the symptoms of shedding is radiation poisoning symptoms. And whatever they spray, it stays everything they touch. Even when I go to an empty store, everything smells like the jab. I would need new clothes because I've lost so much weight after my pregnancy, but everything smells like the jabbed. And I have tried clothes at the stores and got horrible symptoms of them in rashes.
That's hypersensitivity. That's unusual to read.
Well, again,
like
we're dealing with a protein, a noxious protein. And I think people fail to appreciate how toxic a protein can actually be.
No, they don't.
You know, this protein now is getting shed into the environment. I mean, it's really contaminating the environment if you want to look at it that way. Because so many
people go. Yes.
So many people have been vaxxed. So many people are shedding it now. It's certainly in most public places. So, yes, you can pick it up from surfaces. In the air, on surfaces.
All right. I have felt strong EMF shedding sensations from my husband when he's been at a care job where everyone is jabbed. It almost feels like he had the jab some days. So I would agree with secondary exposure. It seems to shed from him as he sleeps. Answer. Thank you. I was wondering which to do first, so thank you. Good to know for the next time, too. Another comment. I totally agree. What I find frustrating is the people I hang out with didn't have the injection because they know how bad it is, but don't bother doing any detoxing for shedding or take any other precautions, I would assume. Final comment. A few hours, just reasonably close, but no contact. It's weird because I am really affected. But other unvaxxed, I know, aren't. I don't know why this is. Well, we don't either, except there seems to be a sensitivity level with some people that is quite acute. All right, go ahead, grab the next one.
Secondary shedding. I have had this too. I bought clothes and I had to wash them 4 times and they still reeked.
Wow.
Another one says, or both. I experience also after infection weeks ago, ear ringing, pain, nose and cavities, and I feel like it is reacting to EMF radiation. 4 or 5, it doesn't matter. Look on the internet, Karen Kingston, Maria Z, for interview on nanotech fibers, shedding, and relation EMF.
All right, well, we want you to be real careful with that last little bit. Just take it for what it's worth. There's a lot of noise out there. The point here is that people are reporting secondary shedding reactions. So if you're around someone who's unvaxxed and they're working with people who are vaxxed, you might want to be a little careful, maybe if you're intimate with them, to have them take a shower first. That was a piece of good advice. Even if you're not, if you're hanging around somebody who goes to work with the vaxxed, they ought to take a shower anyhow, just for
right.
You know, common courtesy, common sense. So
yeah,
there we
you
go.
Know, the it's an aerosolized protein at this point that can be carried on people's clothes.
Yeah, it can be carried. Yes,
in
on their
hair,
skin, on their breath,
their skin,
in their hair.
Right.
Exhalations. So again, it's everyone seems to act and react a little differently about this. But we just want to make the point that it is an issue, it is out there, and it does appear to be quite real. So why wouldn't it be? And I think Erica's comment about wherever people are now, you have to assume that there are spike proteins on the loose, and maybe mRNA, and maybe other things we don't know. So if you go out, we're recommending, again, masks and gloves. I keep a pair of gloves in my car, just lightweight little gloves. But I don't go up and grab grocery carts anymore or door handles. I always use my foot anyhow on a door if I can. But these may sound a little extreme to some, but I don't think most of you. It's just common sense. You want to. It's the only thing you have on your side is a barrier. You got to create that barrier, whether it's a mask or gloves or whatever. Taking the proper supplements is another way to do it. But go ahead. Anything to add to that?
Yeah, it just brings to mind the epidemic of shingles that's out there right now. And it appears to be contact shingles, not necessarily somebody who had chicken pox in the distant past and their immune system's faltering and now it's reawakening. No, this is a type of shingles that you can pick up from direct contact.
Contact
whether you've had chicken pox
zoster.
Or not. Yeah, zoster.
Contact zoster. Yeah.
And I've seen this now from several people, you know, because it comes out on their hands. You know, you can actually see, on their fingers, palm.
Okay, there you go. And shooting pains, so that would suggest a neurological involvement as well, which is what basically zoster is. It's in the neurology.
Yeah, it goes to the peripheral or into the dorsal nerves, but it follows a dermatome.
Right. Okay. That's it for us tonight. We will be back Monday with more. In the meantime, common sense, don't worry about it. Get some gloves. Or if you go out, make sure you've got hand sanitizer, a quality type in the car that you can use. Use grab the little thing when you go in the store or wipe your hands off. This is common sense. These are not germs. They're worse than germs. They're proteins, and they can be virtually anywhere.
That's right, yeah.
So
sad but true.
Yeah. All right, good job. Thank you, partner. Talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
All right, we will be back with Hour 3. We're going to take a trip to New York City and talk to Joe about what's going on in the city there. It's dying, and the subways, and the people down there literally are dying. So hang on. We'll be right back.